Science! That's what you're going to yell when you read our new comic book super friends. And we want to tell you about our 80-page graphic novel, our next comic book called Science, coming to Kickstarter on September 12th, which could be in the future or could be present day, depending on the time that you're listening to this podcast. Now, our next comic book, it's, I know a lot of you probably like, it should be a sequel to Jupiter Jet. Well, it's not. We decided to branch out and tell a different story. Science is the story of Tamsin, a 14-year-old girl who's already the smartest theoretical and applied physicist in any room. Yeah, she's that super smart. And Tamsin has just started studying at the Prometheus Institute, which is only the world's most famous and prestigious science school. Now, the Institute is a futuristic wonderland filled with genius teachers who may or may not be from this world and floating helper robots known as STATS. Ashley, do you remember what STATS stand for?
STATS stands for Science and Technological Assistant Teachers.
Yeah, that's right. We love floating robots so much that we put them in every comic book we got.
Truly.
And now Tamsin, she's super stressed at the school, but she would be stressed too if your dead father talked to you through your super cool science glasses.
What?
That's right. Dr. Thomas Trecrew, he's uploaded his consciousness before his death and now lives as a hologram stored in Tamsin's glasses. So not only does she have to deal with going to a new school, but she's got to deal with her dad, her dead dad, seeing everything she do and, you know, making choices. You know, you would be like, your dad was like, don't eat that for lunch, honey.
Totally. And spoiler alert.
Don't talk to that robot.
Tamsin has a super cute roommate named Garen. And yeah, her dad is aware of everything that they're doing as well.
Oh, man. That's so that is what our comic book Science is full of. There's floating robots. There's real science facts. And it's a whole lot of fun. And we are so excited about this comic book. We are taking it to Kickstarter on September 12th. You can find it at sciencecomicbook.com. And we need your help. If you are a listener of this podcast, if you loved our first comic book, Jupiter Jet, you love the stories and our pitches that we talk about in Geek History Lesson. This is our original story. And the only way this comic book happens, the only time this comic book will be printed, will be through this Kickstarter. So sciencecomicbook.com. We also have a lot of cool rewards. There's a script review from Batman writer Tom King.
Wait. So you're saying that we want to help other people make their own comic books by hooking them up with Tom King?
That is correct. I will tell you this. If I had the chance to get a script review from Tom King, I've never had a script of mine reviewed by Tom King, I would pay through the nose for this.
Yeah.
And we're not even making you pay through the nose. I think it's a very fair price.
Plus also, you get the comic.
Yeah. Also, one of our awards to help us make this comic book is the opportunity to have lunch with Runaways actor Ryan Sands. Who does Ryan Sands play on the podcast?
He plays Jeffrey Wilder, the very dashing, very evil father of Alex and lead bad guy.
Yeah. So if you listen to this podcast, you enjoy our podcast, we ask you to go check out our Kickstarter for Science at sciencecomicbook.com. Go check out our Kickstarter. Help us make our next comic book. Get yourself a great reward. Get yourself a great story. And it means a lot to us because you'll basically just be pre-ordering the book. You'll help us make our next comic book. And remember, friends, science! And now on to the show. Great leaders seek answers. By getting an answer, you increase your understanding. Seek answers. And I will provide those answers about Iron Fist as this geek history lesson is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Chi Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University because you, dear friend, have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or Iron Fist from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. Now, if you are a longstanding member of the Mind University, you might be saying, but wait, Professor Jason and Ashley, you already talked about Iron Fist. Jason loves Iron Fist. What's happening?
I am writing up my tweet right now to tell you that you have already done Iron Fist, and I think that you have made a mistake because you are repeating episode 226 times already.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? It only took us 226 times to mess up this bad.
That's right. I'm actually surprised that we haven't repeated an episode. But no, today is about Iron Fist because I wanted to talk about what I think are some great Iron Fist stories that you should read in case you're in an Iron Fist mood. And we're talking about that because Iron Fist Season 2 with some Typhoid Mary, with some Daughters of the Dragon, with Colleen Wing is issues right around the corner, or it might be just right in front of your eyeballs right now in case you're listening to this from the future.
Fun fact, 2 out of 3 of those characters Jason just named, we already have Geek History Lessons.
That's right. I am a big fan of Iron Fist, and so that's why I wanted to talk about Iron Fist. But actually, this top five, it's going to be a little bit different than our normal top fives. Why is that?
Well, that is because I've read exactly one Iron Fist story.
Which one have you read?
I've read the first volume of the Matt Fraction run. Maybe the second one. The one where he goes to the Seven Cities and fights the guy.
That's the second one.
I read that one.
Yeah.
I read the first two.
Yeah.
Leading up to the Iron Fist series, and then I got mad at the series and stuff.
So I thought that, because I love Iron Fist so much, that I would talk to you. I would tell you what I think my five choices, my top five Iron Fist stories that you should read are. And through each one of them, hopefully, by the end of this podcast, convince you to read one of them. That you, by the end of this podcast, hopefully, kind of like what we did in the Voltron episode, hopefully by the end of this podcast, I will convince you. I will bring you
into the Iron Fold,
into the temple of Kun Lun, show you the ways of the dragon and the chi, and that you will open your mind and decide to put on a yellow bandana.
Listeners can't see this, but Jason is doing pseudo kung fu moves as he says this. And also, listeners, this is going to be a little interactive too. If you like the idea of structuring list episodes like this, trying to convince the
like
other
a debate, not really a debate, I guess. No,
it's kind of like what if our list episodes and our discussion episodes had a baby, and you like the idea, then let us know and
go
we'll consider
Iron Fist, little baby.
Let us
don't
know,
go
and we'll
in your crib, or it will hit you like a jib.
That's the best.
It's not too bad.
It's the best
actually.
Rhyme I could do.
I wouldn't want to be hit by a jib.
But yeah, let us know,
and we'll do more of these in future.
Where on social media could they do that? Actually,
oh, you could do that at GHL Podcast. Also, please direct all of your requests there.
It's shameless
plug. It's hard to have to dig through different streams.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes people will just tag us individually, which is very sweet, and yep, we try our best. But if you tag GHL Podcast, then when we go and do our massive sweep, it's just easier.
Yeah, that is the place where we check. And we've been seeing a lot more people just tag us randomly, which is fine. That's totally cool. Mm-hmm. We're glad you enjoyed the podcast. But if you definitely want your suggestion in, you have to tag one of the GHL Podcast social medias, or we might never add it to the list.
Yeah, might be gone to the ether.
Yeah, there you go. So before we get to the five stories, Ashley, just to remind you about Iron Fist and the listeners, I wanted to repeat the 10-cent origin of Iron Fist.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to ask me what I remembered from the lesson.
I will now.
Oh, no.
I'm going to now. But I wanted to repeat the 10-cent of Iron Fist just so we're all on the same page in case you don't know who Iron Fist is.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
So what is the 10-cent origin?
Danny Rand is...
No. What is the 10-cent origin of our podcast, Ashley?
The 10-cent origin is the first part of the podcast that I'm completely aware of and have done 226 lives. Where Professor Jason is going to give you the cliff notes, all the basic doodads, chiness and hoo-ha's about Iron Fist that you need to know in case you go to a really cool Heroes for Hire cocktail party and someone asks you what's up with that Danny Rand guy.
Welcome to Pod Save America, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Inman. All right.
Save Kun Lun.
So Iron Fist, of course, is a Marvel Comics character. His first appearance was in Marvel Premiere number 15 in May of 1974. He was created by Roy Thomas and Gil Kane. His full name is Daniel Thomas Rand. Or sometimes, depending on in Kun Lun, they add parts to your name. He is known as Daniel Thomas Rand Kai. That's kind of been dropped off more recently.
Like an honorific almost?
Well, yes. Sometimes in some stories, Iron Fist stories, you'll see him called Rand Kai.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just say Rand Kai, and you'll be like, what is that? It's the honorary Kun Lun name.
Cool.
His team affiliations have been the New Avengers, the Heroes for Hire, the Defenders, the Immortal Weapons, and the Thunderbolts!
Jason's favorite.
I love the Thunderbolts. His partnerships have been Luke Cage, Misty Knight, Colleen Wing, Daredevil, and Master Izo. And his notable aliases have been the Young Dragon, the Living Weapon, and Daredevil. Why is he known as Daredevil, Ashley? Do you remember that from his lesson?
Because in Civil War, Matt Murdock was not Daredevil, and they wanted to still think that there was a Daredevil. So Danny was like, I'm a good guy, unlike what you might know from Netflix. I'll take one for the team. And he dressed up in Charlie Cox's cool costume.
Yeah, it's when Matt Murdock's identity was out into the public.
So they were attempting to reestablish a secret
exactly.
identity. Yes.
Now, his abilities are he's a skilled martial artist in several forms of all kinds of martial arts.
Including ones we've probably never heard of.
And he utilizes concentrated chi into his fist that is called the Iron Fist that makes him a living mystical weapon.
Cool.
So now before we get to our full list, we have to thank our sponsor.
Do you find yourself getting distracted? Well, you wouldn't if you were the Iron Fist. Forgetting things? You wouldn't if you were the Iron Fist. Making mistakes at work? Well, you wouldn't make mistakes if you're the Iron Fist. But another way that you can get past all those problems if you're not the Iron Fist is by having a quality night's sleep. And the right mattress is the difference between resting and just laying down and making sure that you are or can be the Iron Fist. And that right mattress is the Lisa mattress, because the Lisa mattress is the product of more than 30 years of experience. It is an amazing mattress, and I am not lying at all when I say that it is the most comfortable mattress that I have ever slept on in my entire life. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree with me. And you can order your Lisa mattress online at lisa.com/geekhistory and try it risk-free for 100 nights. The box ships direct to your door. It's convenient and has a tiny little mattress, well, a normal size mattress, but the mattress is tiny sized inside the box, comes with free shipping and free returns. And you can find the right mattress for you at lisa.com/geekhistory. Do not miss, Lisa has a limited time Labor Day sale. You can get up to $235 off. $235, super friends! And you can get free shipping on the Lisa mattress at lisa.com/geekhistory. That's LEESA.com/geekhistory.
Okay, let's start off this list here. It's only my list, Ashley. Again, at any moment, feel free to ask me. Some of these stories are more clear in my brain currently because I've read them more recently, and some of them aren't. So I might mix up details. Please forgive me. But these are the stories that I think, in my personal opinion, not objectively, but my personal opinion, are the five best Iron Fist stories.
Ah, and there might be a difference between an objective list and a personal opinion, and they're both great.
So set me up on this, Ashley. Let's start off.
Let's start off. Well, Jason's going to talk about his number five choice. I don't know what it is, but number five is a great number.
That's all. I'm looking for the numbers. That's all I'm looking for. Like, you just go, and you're number five, Jason.
And take two.
Welcome to Pod Save America.
Jason, please tell me about your number five.
Really quickly, I don't remember our Iron Fist episode, but did I have a Danny Rand voice? I don't remember.
No, we made...
Was it Iron Fist?
Yes, because we were trying to do the Iron Chef, or in Futurama, Iron Cook, and some people didn't like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Iron Fist. That's right. That's what it was. Okay,
yeah,
there we go.
Iron Fist.
All right. My number five is a good place to start for Iron Fist. It is the first Iron Fist story called The Fury of the Iron Fist.
That's a great title.
Marvel premiere number 15 and 16. It's a two-part tale.
Wait, what?
Yep. So basically, it is the origin story. It's back-to-back stories that basically tell you about his transformation. You get to see his origin in it. Also, you get to see him fighting a little kung fu tournament. I'm going to give you a little taste of the amazing Roy Thomas Gilkane, I believe. Roy Thomas Gilkane, yes. Dialogue from the very first page, the very first caption box of the very first Iron Fist story.
Oh, please do.
Here it is. You are the Iron Fist. You stand tensely, too tensely, aware of their eyes on you. You T the hooded ones and his four dragon kings, and facing you, four others edge closer, searching for an opening, a moment of weakness, the careless flickering of an eyelid. That is the opening caption box of the first Iron Fist story. Now, tell me that that does not sound like the most badass Bruce Lee movie you've ever seen.
I was going to say, I find that very evocative of like a lot of Asian movies of the time. Mm-hmm. I think that's so, like, it's very kung fu movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Like, you can hear the gong that would be playing underneath it as it finishes.
So that is from a scene where you see Iron Fist and he is still doing his training to prove himself as worthy. UT is the leader of the city of Kunlun.
Uh-huh.
Now, in these two books, again, we see the origin of Iron Fist. His father is betrayed. He's thrown off a mountain by Meacham. Mm-hmm. His mother sacrifices herself to a bunch of wolves to allow Danny to run into Kunlun across the safety of the bridge, which is pretty freaking amazing. It's probably, there's a very thin bridge over a chasm. Wolves are chasing them. She realizes that they're not both going to make it, so she tells him to go on, and she jumps into the wolves and tries to wrestle them and keep them from getting to him. Because he's about 8, because I think all child superhero orphans are about 8.
8 or 10.
So in the second issue, Danny, once he becomes worthy of being the Iron Fist, and it's, and again, these stories are told twofold. Like, you're seeing the, his sort of origin story. In the first issue, you're seeing him fighting to be worthy, told against, intercutting to his origin with his mom and his mom dying. The second issue is you see him in New York and fighting some crooks.
Where would it be but New York?
Yeah. And intercut with him getting ready to leave Kunlun for the first time since he ever arrived there.
To leave his new home.
Yes. Now, the interesting thing in the storyline, and the reason why it's so important to me, or and why I would put this on the list, is because this is something that's kind of forgotten in modern Iron Fist stories, is that Danny's only home for the last 10 years has been Kunlun. Mm-hmm. Kunlun saved him. UT saved him. The portal to Kunlun, a mystical city, only connects to Earth once every 10 years. Mm-hmm. And if you walk outside it, you cannot come back to Kunlun for another decade. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the other interesting fact that is kind of forgotten in modern Iron Fist story, and Iron Fist Netflix show. If you live in Kunlun, you're immortal.
What?
Time does not pass in Kunlun the same way that it passes in the modern world.
Oh, so it's like Narnia. Like, they live an entire adult life. They have children in Narnia, but when they go back, they're still 8, 10.
It's actually opposite.
Oh, really?
Kunlun time is slower. UT is, sometimes they say UT is like thousands of years old. Because to Earth time.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, but he's a normal man. And the Thunderer, the big Kilowog of Kunlun.
Yes.
That's the best descriptor of
that's
him.
That's a good description.
Is the same thing. Like, he is hundreds of years old. So by Danny leaving Kunlun, he's giving up
his immortality.
Immortality.
Very, very Arwen, Evenstar move in Lord of the Rings.
Which, by the way, is what he fought for the last 10 years.
It was the right to immortality.
The right to immortality. The right to be the utter champion of this city. Mm-hmm. So for him to leave is a huge decision. That he's so obsessed with the revenge. That's what he is. They portray Danny as very angry. He's so obsessed with his revenge that he has to leave. He spits in the eye of immortality.
That's I think spits in the face might be more accurate.
Sorry.
But let's say the eye. Why
let's
not?
Say immortality has an eye. They have a big eye right in the center
They're
of their head.
They're a cyclops. Yep. They have indeterminate gender.
Spiritual eye of immortality.
There you go. I think it's interesting. Obviously, having not read this, that you would classify Danny as an angry character because he is so commonly teamed up with Luke Cage, who particularly in his origin and in his original incarnation was a very angry character.
When he starts off, he's very angry because he's almost Bruce Wayne levels where he's like, I have to
find.
Oh,
really?
Well, because the guy that threw his dad off the side of the mountain, Harold Meacham, is still alive.
Yes.
And he takes over Rand's company. So that's where that's where you can see the Netflix series. The Netflix takes a lot of names from this first arc.
Yes, it does.
Although they're not quite the same.
I also think it's sort of fascinating that his introduction is twofold. It's a two-story arc, which was something that you saw a little more from Marvel during the Silver Age. Mm-hmm. But it's not just because he only had a brief appearance in the first issue and then had a more fuller fleshing out in the second, kind of like Mary Jane Watson or Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like, they actually, when they conceived of this character, gave him a two-story arc. Mm-hmm. Like, they thought he was that interesting and that good. I think that's very fascinating.
All right, let's move on to the number four.
Yes, Jason's number four for his best Iron Fist stories.
This one's called Fist of Iron, Heart of Stone.
Ooh, I love that.
Power Man and Iron Fist number 50. So in 1978, right, we've moved 4 years ahead from the last story that I just told you about. Both of these gentlemen's comics were going to be canceled.
Yeah.
They weren't selling well.
Well, both of them were based on stereotypes.
Yep.
And maybe didn't resonate with their target audience. Mm-hmm.
So instead of canceling both books, they combined them like a Green Arrow, Green Lantern style. And it sort of became this weird mixture of street level toughness and kung fu movies. And I actually think created one of the greatest Marvel Comics duos of all time.
Yeah, because we've talked about this on a couple of the different lessons. But just in case anyone doesn't know, the only reason Danny and Luke were teamed up was because editorial was like, well, we either put them in the same book or we cancel them and cut our losses.
Which is actually insane. It actually worked.
Which is even more insane.
Yeah, the fact that it worked.
And remains. They remain one of the most iconic duos. I actually don't think they made our Marvel Comics duos list.
No, they made mine.
Oh, there you go.
I think they were like number three or number four on mine.
I don't remember. Yeah. It's been so long since then. But when you think of classic pairs, they come to mind. And they're paired up in the Netflix shows as well.
100%. Now, this story, of course, shows Luke Cage, how Luke Cage meets Iron Fist is Luke Cage bursts into the home of Danny Rand to kidnap Misty Knight, who at this time Danny Rand's partner in their detective agency.
We talked about that in our Misty episode.
And they, of course, fighty, and Luke Cage eventually comes to his senses and he finds out that he's been blackmailed by the villainous Bushmaster. Now, of course, Bushmaster has some of his close friends as hostage and is threatening to kill them if Luke doesn't bring Misty Knight to him. And of course, Iron Fist is like, you ain't doing that, man. Misty's my friend. So Iron Fist and Misty decide to help out Luke and they embark on a mission to Bushmaster's lair in Seagate Prison. Why is Seagate Prison important, Ashley?
Well, that's where Luke Cage used to be locked
up.
That's
right.
He's got some feelings about it.
It's also where he got his powers.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, by the end of the day, they save Misty, they save all the friends, they save Luke's friends, and these two form a new alliance and go on to become what I think is Marvel's greatest bromance.
Do you think that's cute?
Yes, I agree. Although I if you go off duo, as I think Spider-Man and Human Torch are higher.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I think that Luke Cage and Iron Fist are one of those duos that they only work together.
I agree.
They're more powerful. Kind of like we make the argument where we feel that Wonder Woman is stronger in the Justice League and Captain America is stronger when he's in the Avengers tale instead of a solo tale. I agree on both these. I think none of their solo tales match the power of their together tales.
They're also unintentionally, but fascinatingly, two of those characters that make up a whole person when they're together.
Like Sherlock and Holmes.
And Watson, yeah. Also, this issue is probably pretty important for where it just stands in the history of Misty Knight and Danny Rand.
Mm-hmm.
People who only know them for the Netflix shows might not know that, you know, Misty and Danny actually have a really
interesting Iron Fist character
relationship.
Yeah.
They kind of get engaged for a bit.
She's dated both of them.
Yeah.
She's dated Luke and Iron.
She's much more of Danny's. I think of her more as Danny's.
Misty and Danny are together.
Yeah. Yeah.
In most of the comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if this is sort of their first big outing together, then I think that's interesting.
You know why Danny is so attracted to Misty?
Because that she's got a sweet fro?
No, because she's basically girl Luke Cage. She really is.
Because she has a bionic arm, so they both have crazy arms.
Yep. Oh, he has an arm fetish. There it is.
There you go. That's I didn't think about it that way. That's very fascinating.
She's basically girl Luke
Cage. I mean, her and Luke are very similar, and that was probably due to the lack of diverse African-American characters that came out of the Silver Age of Marvel. But
you know that
when you look at the implication for Danny as a character, it's very interesting.
You know, it reminds me, this Luke and Misty and Luke, I mean, Danny and Misty and Danny and Luke remind me of, there's that Flight of the Conchords song where Jermaine sings a song to Brett. And at one part he goes, ooh, if one of us were a lady and I was your man and we'd be something. Like, I think that
that's where he's trying to help Brett get his confidence back.
Yeah. And he basically turns the song into how he's going to kiss Brett.
Yeah.
I think that of Danny and Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Although Danny is definitely the lady in that situation, but I think that I think they would date if one of them was a lady, and that's Misty at her base court. Misty Knight is a great character, and I don't mean to demean anything about that character, but when you look at her objectively, especially back to her creation, she's basically girl Luke Cage.
Look, and we've had there's a lot of female characters that were only created to be female versions
Spider-Woman?
Of male characters that have surpassed them, and That doesn't change the truth of their origin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we don't...
She's become a much better character in modern times.
Yes, and I think especially with the TV show.
Oh, she's great in the TV show.
If anyone wants to request a Flight of the Conchords episode, that was at GHL Podcast.
If one of us was a lady, and one of us is, and one of us talking into a microphone.
Jason would mostly just sing the songs.
I would. I'd sing them all.
So if you like the
Fun
Jason
fact,
sings...
I want a talent show singing a Flight of the Conchords song once.
I knew that about you, yep. You know.
It was business time.
The classic.
Yep, classic one. Let's go to our number three, Ashley. How about that?
That is the third number on this list.
You don't have to explain what a number is.
Well, you really threw me to the wolves like I was Danny Rand's mom with number five. So I'm just trying to tread water here until the doors to Kun Lun open up again.
All right. My number three choice is a recent story, or recent more than the other ones I've been talking about. The rest of this list is going to be very... modern.
Cool.
Because Iron Fist does not have a lot of great stories pre-2000. I hate to say it.
Wait, you mean where all he was doing was running around punching people with no emotional depth?
Basically. Or just, you
which
know,
is a perfectly fine way to write a comic.
Getting paychecks with Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's a Heroes for Hire series that was in the 90s that's pretty good.
Also, Luke really steals the thunder when he went to collect money from Dr. Doom and said, give me my money, honey.
Give me my money, honey.
And Danny's just not that cool, man.
I am Doom. What do you... Why are you here? I'm here for my money, bitch.
Yeah.
Biatch. No.
Well, we just got an explicit tag.
No, we didn't. You can say that word on network television. It's all good.
We're on network television? Wow.
Yes, we are. So the most recent story does not have Dr. Doom in it.
It is
written by Dwayne Swierczynski, and it's the story that immediately follows the Matt Fraction, Ed Brubaker run on the series. Now, it's called The Mortal Iron Fist, and the reason why it's called that is because one day while studying the book of the Iron Fist, Danny notices something. Every single Iron Fist, except for his immediate predecessor, Orson, has died at the age of 33. And right after that discovery, Luke, Colleen, and Misty enter the room, wishing him a happy birthday. A happy 33rd
I know
birthday.
This story!
Yes. And soon afterward, he's attacked by a servant of Chin Lin and defeated easily. And he claims that this Chin Lin has claimed that he has killed every Iron Fist previously. Mm-hmm. And it's all in an act to try to get to the dragon that gives Kun Lun and every Iron Fist its power. This storyline also has the reveal of what is the eighth city of heaven. Now, if you're like, what does that mean? In Iron Fist lore, Kun Lun is one of the seven cities of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Mystical cities that are all connected to Earth. Mystical cities that all focus chi around a different body part or a different style.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Fist is but one of those cities. And it had been rumored in previous stories that there was an eighth city. This storyline reveals the eighth city. It's actually a prison city.
Can I tell you a fun fact about the number eight?
Okay.
In
the actual number eight, the eighth
no,
city?
The actual number eight.
Okay.
So in Eastern mysticism and numerology, eight is a very lucky number. If you're reading the new Superman or the Superman of China storyline, his S shield was originally inside an octagon because the octagon is eight-sided. And I believe it has to do with the full balance of your chi and achieving your full potential. So that might have been why they decided to expand it to eight. But that's just a fun fact I know about the number eight.
Yeah, but that doesn't really jive with the eighth city being a prison zone.
No, but that might be why they decided, let's do eight instead of seven. Because, you know, lucky number seven, that's a very Western construct.
Well, for me, the reason why I put this story as my number three is because I think it was a great idea that Dwayne Swierczynski realized that there was no way he was going to beat the Matt Fraction Ed Brubaker
mm-hmm.
run. So what he did is he expanded on a twist in the run by being like, oh, my story is going to be about the eighth city of heaven. And I like the idea of a hero facing his mortality, that he turns 33 and he's like, oh, crap, this is the last year of my life. Well, what do I do about that? Now, I want to ask you, Ashley, now, do you think I just told you the idea of this story. Does this sound interesting or...
I've read this story.
You've read the story?
Yeah.
So what do you think about the story?
I actually think... I don't know if it might be my favorite Iron Fist story.
Interesting. Okay.
I really like this story. It's very sweet. It's very bittersweet. We don't get to see a lot of birthdays in comic book storytelling.
No, because it dates your characters.
Because we exist in this weird sort of Simpsons continuity where everyone is a certain age for so long. And I'm not advocating for every character to have a birthday story every year. So, you know, don't tweet me. But I think it's...
By the way, you can find the Don't At Me shirt at the My Gentleman Teespring store.
Yes, which you can get linked through geekhistorylesson.com if you click on t-shirts.
Yeah. Let me throw that out there.
There you go.
Don't At Me is a shirt on there.
Yes, it is. But I think as a device, it can be used very well. And I think as a framing device here, I think it's really sweet. Another one I really like, another birthday story I like, is the beginning of the Teen Titans Rebirth where Damian turns 13.
Oh, yeah. Ben Percy's
run. So even though I don't like Damian, I think that's a good framing device. Let's not
derail this Iron Fist episode with a Damian Wayne diatribe.
I could talk about Tim Drake if you want.
No, please don't.
I do like this story a lot, and I think it's a clever way to leave your mark on a character in the wake of a really monumental run.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great run. So let's go to my number two.
Not number one, but like almost as good.
Now, it might be kind of weird that my number two is called The Last Iron Fist Story.
That is really weird, Jason. Why have you done this to us?
But this is the story that made Iron Fist like Green Lantern. And you might be like, what? But this is the first story. This is the beginning of the Ed Brubaker Matt Fraction run, where it is revealed for the very first time that there are other Iron Fists besides Danny. That it is a lineage that is passed on generation to generation to generation.
See, I didn't realize that that was a modern construct until you told me that quite recently.
It is a modern construct. It did not exist before that storyline.
So for a long time, it was just Danny.
It's just Danny.
That was it.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So Danny meets his predecessor, Orson Randall, who has been on the run for many years. And after accidentally killing another one of the immortal weapons, or I explain what that is, and fleeing the city of Kunlun with the Book of the Iron Fist, which is basically the Iron Fist Bible. It tells you, like, wow, this is how you wash behind your ears, and this is how you do your chi through your arm, and always, always listen to Flight of the Conchords. But basically, he fled the city of Kunlun because he suffered trauma during the First World War. And you find out that basically it flips everything about Iron Fist, and really, it's the same as Green Lantern with the Green Lantern Power Core, where it's one of those things where you're like, man, how did it take somebody 20
this long?
How did it take 30 years to come up with this? This seems like, you know, think about it a little bit and boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Like that there would be other colored lanterns, or the fact that there would be other Iron Fist, the fact that there would be other immortal weapons like Iron Fist. I'm actually surprised that actually they weren't all iron something, that they weren't all Iron Fist, Iron Foot, Iron Staff, Iron Sword.
Iron Shoulder Blade.
You know, something like that. Iron Elbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Iron Koozie.
Iron Turtle Shell?
Yeah.
I was thinking about Ninja Turtles.
I'm actually surprised they weren't that. But also this has a really cool thing of it has an Iron Fist Orson Randall shooting Iron Fist chi bullets through pistols, which I think is the coolest visual of all time.
That is really cool.
This actually really was my gateway into loving Iron Fist. And because of this run, I went back and reread past Iron Fist and loved Danny Rand. It's this storyline called The Last Iron Fist Story.
If you don't remember, it's okay, but I'm just curious, was there something that in particular that inspired you to pick up this Iron Fist story when you did? Like, had you seen it talked about?
I'd seen it talked about online where everybody was talking about how good it was.
Yeah.
I didn't read it until trade, of course. I didn't read it by any issues, but that I remember everybody talking about it. I want to ask you, Ashley, so this was a huge retcon to Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Generally, do you like big retcons to establish characters or not big retcons to establish characters? Because Green Lantern got a big one. I'm trying to think of some other characters. Wonder Woman recently got one.
I mean, all of
one.
Them. Batman.
You know?
It's tough. You know, when characters are around for more than about 10 years, you get into retcon territory. And the minute you invite other creative teams on it, you get into retcon territory. And there are some wonderful retcons. I think this one, for example,
it's a great one.
Is so good. I'm a big mythology person. I love to obsess on things and learn as much as I can about them. And this, to me, really brings in a mythology that if you're going to base something out of an Eastern magical tradition, I think it deserves. You know, the thing about the dragon, like, that's a good step in that direction, but fleshing it out more like this is fascinating. Overall, I tend to say I don't want any retcons, because when you get a character like Black Canary who gets all these retcons that are not needed all over the place, it gets really frustrating.
Although some retcons are good because they fixed past inconsistencies.
So I think you have to take the good with the bad, and I think in this case, Danny Rand was very fortunate to get the retcon that it could have been so much worse.
Well, Ed Brubaker was writing this at the same time that he's writing Winter Soldier.
Ah, God bless. And maybe
it's
the
peak,
best
peak brewmaker.
Maybe the best retcon of all time, Winter Soldier.
Is Winter Soldier... Winter Soldier's not really a retcon, though.
But it...
Because Winter Soldier did not exist as a character before that storyline.
No, that's true, but it's kind of a retcon. It's a resetting of expectations, right? Because the expectation was you're never going to bring Bucky Barnes back. He's a character who's always going to be dead.
Yeah.
And Brubaker did it and made him more interesting than Captain America.
Yeah.
So... Maybe not a retcon in the traditional sense,
sure.
But an update, certainly.
Yeah.
So, maybe soft, yes.
All right.
Soft, they're fine.
All right. So, now we're going to move on to what number, Ashley?
Jason is literally holding his finger up at me as if I could have forgotten. We're at number five, obviously.
Welcome to Pod Save America.
Why do you keep doing
because,
that?
Because I don't know if you know what podcast we're on.
I didn't know if that was a Pod Save America joke that I was not privy to.
No.
We are, of course, at number one. The best, not the last. Is this one called The Best Iron Fist Story?
Well, in my opinion, this. No. This one is called The Seven Capital Cities of Heaven, or as I like to call it, Iron Fist Mortal Kombat!
I know this one too. Is Mortal Kombat the one with Chun-Li in it? Or is that the other fighting game?
Street Fighter.
Same thing.
Raul Julia's last movie. Thank you very much.
Look, he deserved better than that.
Look, here's a crazy thing. I can quote you the Street Fighter movie. You want to know why? Because
you watched it 100 times?
No, actually, I didn't. I've only watched it like 3 or 4 times, maybe. The VHS was at the local gas station where we rented videos, and I watched it. But Raul Julia says what I think is a genius piece of dialogue in a really bad movie, and I know this has nothing to do with Iron Fist, but just go with us. So part of the movie is about Chun-Li getting to... what's his name? The colonel that Raul Julia plays, I can't remember.
Sure.
He's the big colonel guy.
Sure.
Anyways, Raul Julia completely miscast for that part. But anyways, so Chun-Li gets there and attacks him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm here to kill you. Could you kill my village? Blah, 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 blah. And she's like, you remember? And he goes, for you, that was the most important day of your life. For me, it was just another day. And I was like, whoa, that is like, talk about a mic drop for a villain.
Yeah.
Damn, that is cold. That's one cold mofo.
But she beats him, right?
No, I don't remember. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme punches him in the face, and that's the end of the movie. Speaking of stuff that's not Jean-Claude Van Damme, let's talk about a kung fu tournament that has to do with Iron Fist.
Yeah, I know this one.
Yes, this is great. This is, I think, the best Iron Fist story of all time. As again, it's Iron Fist Mortal Kombat! So it's all about the kung fu tournament that occurs every 88 years and is held to determine which mystical city would appear on Earth every decade. Each city's immortal weapon is required to participate. This is where Danny learns about the other weapons, the other cities, and only one of them at a time can touch Earth. During the tournament, Danny meets his 6 mystical counterparts, and he loses the first round of the tournament, but he discovers a secret doorway between Earth and Kunlun that allows passage without the mystical connection every decade. This is everything you want and need in an Iron Fist story, because it's the best Iron Fist story because it has a fist fight, it goes crazy, it expands the mythology, it's about mysticism, and it's epic as hell, drawn by David Aja, who is a genius artist.
Love him.
You have read this. What do you think about this storyline?
I think it's great, and I think...
But you don't think it's the best, because you like number 3 the best.
Yeah, but that story is more sentimental, which is what I like about it. Danny doesn't get a lot of moments to be soft and have feelings.
That's true. That story is very much about Danny. This story is about the world!
Yeah, this story is truly what an Iron Fist movie should be. And what the first season of the... effing show should have been.
I agree with you on that. I think season 1 of Iron Fist should have been the last Iron Fist story, and season 2, the one that's about to come out, should have
built to this. Yeah. It's very cinematic. It's kind of like
or this could be like what the second Defenders could be about.
Yeah. But it's kind of like Birthright is maybe not the best Superman story, but Birthright is a really easy
movie,
accessible Superman. And this
I can't believe it hasn't been made into a movie yet.
This is sort
either.
Of that version for Iron Fist. Like, there are better stories, I think, about Danny Rand, the character, but like, this story is epic. And I think this is, I understand why you would put this at the top of your list, having read this.
Iron Fist Mortal Kombat!
You know, you cast Donnie Yen in it, and Daniel Wu, and every other great
fighter. Donnie Yen, by the way, would make he's a little old now.
Who cares?
But he would make an amazing Danny Rand. He'd be great. He'd be so good at it.
Oh, yeah. He is a little.
Be so good.
Because they want Danny to be younger per the Netflix show.
Well, Danny needs to be younger.
I
always
thought he'd have been a great Thunderer.
Oh, yeah. He would be a great Thunderer. You know? He'd be a great Steel Serpent.
Yeah. Oh, he'd be a great Steel Serpent.
Yep.
Yeah. This story's really cool. Do you think this is where they got the idea in Green Arrow to do the different weapons clans?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Because that just occurred to me. I was like, they're very similar.
Well, because the weapon clans didn't happen until about 2013.
Yeah, later.
And this story is somewhere around 2000.
I think it's 11?
No. This is like 2005 or 4-ish is when this story is.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that early.
Yeah. This story is over a decade old now.
What?
Which is crazy.
But, so old. Yep. 10 years so old.
Yep. So there you go. That is my list. That is the end of the list. Just to go for the recommended reading for these stories, a lot of these stories are out of print, but what they've done is my one and my two are collected in the same collection.
In the epic collections?
Yeah. There's Iron Fist Epic Collection mm-hmm. number one, and then my number three is collected in Iron Fist Epic Collection number three.
Yes.
Number four is very hard to find, but number five is in an epic premiere, so those would be the choices. Those would be the three recommended readings. My one, my two, my three, and my five.
Yes, and you can get all of those at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. We have these amazing little widgets, and you click on those, and you purchase the story of your choice. A little bit of support comes back our way to help us feed the dragon who lives beneath the Mind University and powers everything that we do here.
I like that we have a dragon under there.
We do. New retcon. And thank you so much. Thanks to the assistance of a bunch of our TAs, we now have the full list up there. It's been up there for a little while now, so you can find all of our recommended reading ever.
All right. So this is going to be a little bit shorter than a normal episode, but
we've had some longer ones recently.
Just fine. Oh, yeah. We've had some hour and a half ones recently. Let's go into the last section of the podcast, the honor roll.
Yeah. The honor roll is where if you are an amazing human being who clicks over to iTunes, gives us a 5-star review and writes literally anything, we'll read it.
Yep. And we're getting to that. We're way behind on these. Like the two that I'm reading today are from March. So we're going through our list. We're getting through it as soon as we can.
And bless everyone who checks in, but please just bear with us.
Yeah, we're getting through it. Wherever you read this on iTunes and Apple Podcasts, this first one comes from Aaron Nabus, who says, I bet even Utau listens to Geek History Lesson. He says, Geek History Lesson is an essential podcast for me. Whether I'm grocery shopping, hiking, weightlifting, or working on projects until 3 a.m., host Stephen Strange and Clea, Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson, do an amazing job each episode with the amount of research they do. Factor in their quirky yet very endearing way of teaching, and I bet even Utau, the watcher, can't remain impartial and is also an avid listener. Utau, I'd like to request a lesson on him. Thanks for consistently keeping me informed, entertained, and keep up the good work. Aaron Nabus is, we know him of the Hall H show. He is the Hall H show. It's a great podcast. You should go listen to that.
They very generously had us on and will hopefully have us on in future.
That's a great idea actually for an episode. I know we've complained several times about how to say that name. Utau.
Uatu.
Uatu. Oh, it's probably Uatu.
I don't know.
That's actually a great idea for a lesson.
If you want to teach it, baby, we'll do it.
That would take a lot of research. The next person that's going to enter the honor roll is US Israel, who says, this podcast is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
They say, this podcast is great to listen to while studying or on a long bus ride. You won't find a better superhero history podcast. So US Israel and Aaron Nabus, thank you so much. You joined the honor roll. There are bagels in the fridge.
No.
Do not touch the Popular Mechanics magazine in the corner of the teacher's lounge. That is Mr. Johnson's. He is reading it, and he folded the pages when he got to, you know, the thing about cold fusion. Do not ruin that for Mr. Johnson.
What does Mr. Johnson teach again? What does Mr. Johnson teach again?
Home ec.
Great. I love that we are defying gender stereotypes, and our home ec teacher is, I'm assuming, a man, since they go by Mr.
Yep. All right. So head over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and listen to the show. Don't forget, you can find us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all kinds of places. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can find us over there. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. It helps keep our dragon that we now have underneath the school alive. We feed him with dragon kibble bits through your support over at the Patreon. It keeps the podcast alive. We also give you extra stuff, like you can watch the after show to the Saturday morning after show. Also, we do an extra podcast called Geek History Lesson Extra, and this week is going to be about, should Iron Fist have been a movie?
Ooh.
We're going to talk about that. And don't forget, guys, our Kickstarter, Science, is coming up September 12th, sciencecomicbook.com. We need all of the Mind University students to show up. Even if you give a buckaroo over there, it really helps. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter. Where can they do that, Ashley?
You can do that for the third or fourth time this episode at GHL Podcast.
Yes, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Follow Ashley on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. Finally, the last section of the podcast, hashtag stick around, where we make sure you stick through all the plugs.
Heck.
We have a lot of plugs, and I apologize.
Yeah.
Ashley.
Jason.
Do you like Iron Fist's costume?
Which one?
Any of them.
No.
Why?
I think the headdress is stupid.
You think the little bandana is
stupid? I hate
it. What would you have
stupid.
Him wear?
I don't know.
I have my favorite Iron Fist costume over here in the corner. It is from the Ed Brubaker Mad Fraction run.
I've never met an Iron Fist costume I liked.
How do you talk to an Iron Fist costume?
With a lot of talking down my nose. I have quite a long nose. So I feel like it gives me an air of superiority.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get it's just a stylized ninja suit. I don't know if I want it to look more like a gi, but I just don't think it's very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you have a lot of feelings about which Iron Fist costumes are good and bad.
Yes.
Which ones do you not like?
The one where it's white is stupid.
Why don't you like the white and gold?
Look, he's a gritty character on the streets of New York. He's going to get that uniform so dirty.
But you like the green.
I love the green. I actually kind of sort of like the new tracksuit sort of thing that they've given him.
Maybe I like the tracksuit. Tracksuit can stay.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of the David Aja costume with like stripes and stuff like that. I like that costume, but the David Aja costume where they just make it simply... What do you call a martial arts uniform? I forget.
A gi. That's what it's called in karate. Yeah. I'm sure it has different
names.
They
literally just make it a green tight gi.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But the 70s one with the big collar and the chest,
weird shoulder blade thing.
It's mainly
going on.
It's a thing of the past. I hated it when Martian Manhunter had it as well. When you have the big collar that furs up.
Yeah.
It only works on Doctor Strange.
I mean, how many characters have suffered a bad collar? Nightwing?
Lots of them. Nightwing pulled it off.
Does he?
Yes, he did.
Does he?
Yes, he did.
If you are pro Disco Wing, let us know on Twitter.
Yeah. All right, I think that's good enough for this podcast of Iron Fist. I have been Jason the Dragon Inman.
I have been Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, will you please dismiss the class?
This class is dismissed. I'm singing a song. This is a callback back to the Flight of the Conchords joke.